I am very happy. I feel privileged for the opportunity of coming to the Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Fallbrook. My wife and I have felt like part of the family from day one. You've been very warm. And those smiles and handshakes, they've meant a lot to us as a family. I would also like to thank the church board and the search committee for its task, arduous task. Those were hours, those were days where they had to meet together and ask questions and listen to responses and see what would be a good fit for the Fallbrook Church. And I feel privileged for them accepting me as their associate pastor. Pastor Jones and his wife Brenda also have been so kind, opening their heart, their home to us and letting us know we are part of the family. And they've just shared with us this beautiful congregation and introduced us to so many new people and new names. And if we don't remember, just remind us, please. I tend to be a little forgetful. This is an awesome privilege. And the Seventh-day Adventist Church has not only been a beacon, for what I can see, of light, of hope throughout the world. And I say this because today I find some of my church members here from the San Diego Spanish Church. They are members over there. And also the Ramirez family, I believe, coming from TJ. We have a big family there. 14,000 members that meet on a Sabbath morning right across the border, worshiping the same God with the same hope. That beacon of light has gone even more to the south, where my father's from, Salina Cruz, Oaxaca. And somebody came with the Advent message and gave it to my grandfather there. And he shared it with his children. And somebody went all the way to Cuba, from where my mother's from. And they shared also this message of hope, not just with my grandparents, but with my mother's grandparents, both of them. And this week, as I was here in Fallbrook and went to the cooking class on Thursday, I said, yes, the beacon of light is also shining in our community. And I was here Wednesday morning with a group of you who come together to study the Bible. I can see again that beacon of light reflected through your lives. When I was here on Tuesday for Pathfinders, they were awesome, leading out and doing everything. And I could also see that beacon of light, that beacon of hope in the Pathfinder Club. And on Monday we had Bible study. 14 kids studying the book of Daniel. They were studying Daniel chapter 9. Yes, this beacon of light shining in our local community. And that is the hope of which Paul speaks to us this morning, today, once again. As he wrote a letter to the brethren who were in the city of Colossae, the Colossians, he had only heard about them. He had never seen them, met them, didn't know any names, but he had heard that they had accepted Jesus Christ and that they were loving one another. Boy, did that get Paul excited. He was happy. He couldn't believe it. It's not just me preaching. Now it's others preaching this message. And they're sharing this with other Gentiles. And they're coming to the same hope. Jesus in us the hope of glory. Paul had written many times about hope. Hope of salvation. Hope of the resurrection. Hope of the second coming. But he was seeing in this church the hope of glory. Jesus in them. And he didn't want that to just all of a sudden go away. He wanted to let the church know. He wanted them to follow their example. And he writes them this interesting letter that we find. Colossians chapter 1. And especially verse 9 tells us some of the wishes that Paul has for this church. A new church. A growing church. A church that is going through some difficult times. Some difficult financial times. Some difficult political, religious times where some of them were being persecuted. Where doctrines and philosophies from outside of Christianity were trying to come into the church. And make them put their hope somewhere else. He writes to them, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to do what, brethren? To pray. We cannot cease to do what? To pray for one another. For you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of what? Of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen? He was teaching them discipleship. He was teaching them how to pray, the importance of prayer. He was teaching them the importance of reading Scripture. He was teaching them the importance of doing good works. Not because we are righteous in any way, but because He is righteous. Amen? Because He wants to pour His Spirit upon each one of us. How many of us like fruits? We all do. How many of us want to see fruits in our congregation, in our church, in our family? Spiritual fruits. Fruits of the Spirit. Love. Joy. Let me tell you, I've seen that here in this congregation. And that gets me excited as well. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to be part of this experience. Well, I was in Monte Morelos, Mexico, and my parents were building a house. And over there, it takes a while to build a house. It took several years. And the day came where Dad and Mom said, it's time to move into the house. It wasn't all that ready. It wasn't painted. We had windows. We had doors. Important. We had a roof. There was no electricity. So at first, we had to use gas lamps and things like that. Anybody of you use something like that? Maybe not. Camping, maybe. Yeah, yeah, it was kind of like camping, but in this big house. And Mom wanted me to help out around the house and make sure it looked nice. And she said, you know, we need to put some grass out there, and we need to plant some trees. And she had chores for me. She knew that if I would start doing something, I would keep doing it until it was done. And she wanted to show me those important values of persevering. So I started to plant the grass, and we planted some fig trees, some peaches, apple trees, and an avocado tree. And those you have a lot here in Fallbrook. I see when I drive on the 15. An avocado tree. I had very little knowledge of landscaping or anything in that area. But I was trying, and Mom had confidence I would succeed. So I started to take care of the plants. We had to put water and make sure they were taken good care of. Winters would come, and they were pretty cold sometimes. Sometimes the temperature would drop below zero. And once that happened, the papaya trees would stop growing. They would just quit. And there were other plants that would just suffer a little bit. But that year, the avocado tree suffered a lot. I don't know if it was because of its location or it just got so cold that it turned dark purple. And all the leaves started to fall. And all of a sudden, it was just this little stick standing straight. And then I said, well, one less tree to water. Yes. I can finally go and play some basketball with my friends and soccer. But Mom had another plan. She said, nope, I think we can do something about this avocado tree. So I want you to water it. Mom, look at it. Dropped all the leaves, and I don't think it's going to produce anything. Well, let's see. So she came over. And she grabbed a knife, and she told me, well, you see, we're going to cut it right down here, okay? And she went as low as she could to the ground. And I said, well, there it goes. No more avocado tree. No, now you have to water it. What? There's nothing there. Well, I need you to water it. So I had to go to this little spot. There was no grass there, and there was this little stump there, and I had to water it. Well, yes, soon enough, spring came, summer came, and this little plant started to grow again. I was shocked. There it is. But no avocados that year. I said, well, maybe next year. And kept watering. No avocados the following year. Third year, no avocados. Mom, you see, I told you. It's growing. It looks very nice, but no avocados. Oh, Mom said, let's try one more year. And like you say, lo and behold, the following year, we had over 100 avocados. Does your life sometimes feel like that little avocado tree? Rough times, difficult times, where nothing seems to work. Everything seems to be falling apart. But Christ is our hope. He is our hope. And He's willing to pour upon us the waters of His Holy Spirit, the riches of heaven upon all those who need it. Paul was so excited that he just didn't want this to stop. He's like, wow, I need to let them know who Jesus is. Because if they've heard it, well, they need to hear it from me now. And many times I believe that we as Christians, we fall into this rut because we don't see Jesus. Yes, we see our bills. We see our problems. We see what's going on around the world. We hear it on the radio. We see it on TV. But somehow Jesus kind of like disappears. Chapter 1, verse 15 says, and He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Him all things were created, both in the heavens and where else? And on earth. We heard this morning from Alex's class. God the Creator, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and before him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He is also head of the body, which is the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Amen? He was excited about what was going on, and he wanted to let them know, you can put your hope in God. Did he promise them that things were going to be easy? No problems, no tribulations, no persecution, no financial difficulties. No, in no way did he say that. But he did tell them that they could surely put their hope in God. They could put their hope in Jesus Christ. Today we hear of so many people putting their trust in money market, the stock market, properties, people. Those are all things that come and go. You have them here today, you won't have them tomorrow. In another sermon, I'll share a little bit about my family from Cuba. Coming to the United States was a big decision, a difficult decision. It's not just about losing a house, losing your business, losing your land. You have to say goodbye to family members who you're not sure you're going to see again. But the hope of something better makes us sometimes make difficult decisions. And that's a hope that America has become to many countries around the world. Many. When I was in the seminary, I went to Egypt, I went to Jordan, Israel, Turkey. I would speak with the local people there, and they would all say, America, I want to go there. I want to go there. America, number one. And actually, the first time I noticed how much people look toward this country was when I was in Austria, studying, learning German, learning theology. And there was a Holocaust survivor who came to the school to share his experience with us. He had this arm and had a tattoo with his number that he had when he was in, I think it was Auschwitz in Poland. And he expressed the pain, the difficulties that he had to endure during that time. So many of them in such a small space, no food, nowhere to go, desperation everywhere. Some of them were just running, he said, to the fence and just electrify themselves because they didn't want to keep living. Others would go to the guards and start harassing them so they would just get shot. Terrible situation. Terrible. They had lost it all. But there's one thing that they could not lose, and that was hope. We have a saying in Spanish. You can lose anything and everything in this world. Just don't lose hope. Keeps you going. So as they were there, what they would do is gather together on Friday evening to begin what? The Sabbath. And they would recite the promises of God's word. The word hope appears 141 times in both Old and New Testament. You might think, that's not a lot. But when you think of all the story of Moses crossing the sea, does that give you hope? Does that give you hope? Or David and Goliath? or Daniel in the lion's den, or Jesus healing a blind man. Those are all stories of what? Of hope for humanity. Hope for people like you and me. So they would gather together and they would pray and they would share their favorite memory verses by heart and just encourage each other. But there was another little phrase they would use a lot, and it was, "The Americans are coming. The Americans are coming. They're going to set us free. The war is going to be over very soon. We won't have to be in here anymore. The Americans are coming." As Adventists, we say what? Jesus is coming. Amen? That is our hope. People can put their trust in whatever they want, their hope in whatever they want. But God's people, they put their trust in Jesus. That's where Paul invites us all to put our hope. He continues on by telling them, yes, it's not going to be easy. Having Jesus in you doesn't mean that everything is going to be quiet, peaceful, without any problems. He told them the following in verse 24. "Now I rejoice in what? In my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's affliction." Church members at Colossae, it's hard out here. It's difficult. People don't want to listen. People are threatening to kill me. I'm being put in jail. I've lost everything. But you know what? What Jesus is doing for you makes it all worth it. Amen? Amen? So when we hear what is happening around the world in different countries and how people are accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, can we say amen? Yes. You can say amen, and our hope just goes, you know, all the better. Difficult times? Yes. Here in the United States? Yes. Are people losing homes? Yes. Jobs? Yes. Will there be a time where we will also be persecuted because of our faith? Yes. But Paul invites us to rejoice in all this. And he continues by saying in verse 25, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God, that is, the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages." He was so excited. Wow, you guys didn't know this before. All you from Mexico didn't know this. All you from Cuba didn't know this. All you from Europe didn't know this. All you Americans didn't know this before. But I need to share this now with you. This great mystery which was hidden from you before in the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is my first Sabbath here. My first sermon. Hope can also be translated as expectation. And I know the Fallbrook Church has high expectations. Everything I've seen so far is like, wow. Well done. Well done. But I have a hope, is my hope, that more than a scholar, more than this preacher, more than this teacher, you can see Christ in me. That's what I expect to see in you. Nothing more than that. I want to see Jesus in you. Does that make a difference in our lives? Do we care more about people? Are we more excited about our message? About our hope of salvation? About our hope of resurrection? But of our hope of the second coming? Yes. He makes that difference. He's the only one that makes us who we are. And Pastor Jones, thank you for letting me be who I am. Say, Samuel, you just be who you are. And I'm going to try my best. And I'm going to try to let Jesus shine through me as much as he can. Because I think we are living in important times. Times where this world wants to see that. Amen? Have they heard a lot about doctrine? I think they have. Have they heard a lot about last day events? They have. But they want to see who inside of us? They want to see Jesus inside of us. They want to see him because he is our hope of glory. Amen? Jesus is our hope of glory. This morning I shared one more passage with the congregation, and I would like to share it because it kind of like also goes along the same theme, same thought, which is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. If you have your Bibles, please open it with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And I will read the first five verses only. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in what? In hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in what else? In our tribulations. Knowing that tribulation brings about what? Perseverance. And perseverance, what else? Proven character. And proven character? Hope. And hope does not what? Disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen? God will not disappoint you. God will not disappoint his people. The only thing he asks each one of us is that we may put our trust, our hope in him. Amen. We will sing at this moment our last hymn, How Great Thou Art, hymn number 86.